think we did it that time. Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. Welcome to That D&D Podcast. I am Zach, he, him pronouns, and I will be your explanation bear for the evening. I will allow our cast to introduce themselves in Discord order. I will announce Craig, myself, and then we'll go on from there. Craig has no pronouns. Craig is not a person.
Hi, everyone. I'm Addo, he, him. Today I'll be playing Goro, and I'm going to have to punch a nerd or something, I think.
Hi, I'm Jonathan, he, they. Today I'm playing Tinkerbomb, and I don't know, I'm just looking for new and interesting things to smash.
Hi, Matt, he, they, playing Perdition. I think we're going to probably have to beat something up. Something's going to go weird and terribly wrong, but, you know, I'm leaving room for us to be pleasantly surprised in that regard.
And I am Mike J. Darkson Berard, he, him pronouns. I am playing Gug, that has no preferred pronouns. Gug is the chosen monster to every... One in every generation a monster is born. I don't know.
Gug is the protagonist of a young adult novel amongst specifically written for squid, for snake squid monsters.
Horrible snake squid monsters, yeah.
Wait, are we just Invernulian Divergent? This is gonna suck.
Only for the rest of you.
Mm.
Gug will probably be fine.
Well, I mean, they have plot armor.
That's true. Okay, so, yes, last time we hit the secret research base inside the ruins of the Kalamazoo Radisson, fought some roboskeletons, searched in vain for the voice on the other end of a radio who was never there to begin with, liberated some magical stuff, and definitely none of us ever got even a little bit possessed by a demon. It's probably fine.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because Goro has a shiny new sword that poses no danger to anyone in the party, including Goro.
Yeah, I gotta say,
and we can
Goro was not my pick.
We can hear that sword now.
Yes, Goro was not my pick for that either, but I think it's going to be amazing. So
I was
going
to say, just not my pick to get possessed by an evil artifact. He really was not in the running, like everyone else was.
It's true, but...
Okay, so you were making your way out of the building with Albert in the lead. Goro, I believe, is strapped down with several hundred pounds of like magical containment cases, right? Those black weapons suitcase looking things in various shapes and sizes with the skull logo on them. And Albert is just leading you back out in the streets. He's sort of scanning the skyline, thinking those hover bikes might still be there. But he is now essentially jogging through the streets of formerly Kalamazoo, Michigan, back to where you parked your sky bus transport thing. It is...
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure we're just hoofing it along with him at this point.
That's what I figured. It is getting a little bit dark now, and the ley line that you rode into town on is becoming visible. As the light goes down, and bearing in mind that the ruins of Kalamazoo don't put off a whole lot of light on their own, as the sun fades, you can see that where the vehicle is parked is now surrounded in a... Well, there's a band of sort of flickering blue-green light that extends probably 60 foot from the ground to above the transport, and engulfs it completely. This is the ley line you took in, and it will probably be the ley line you take back out, because that thing only flies on ley lines. As plot important.
What is our... Sorry, real quick before the plot becomes...
Yes.
Our pilot slash driver slash human porter, what's his name?
Albert. Albert Deschaine.
Albert. Has he him pronounced. Okay, is Albert okay?
Oh yeah, Albert's fine. I mean, he's a little bit banged up, because he, like, fell through a floor at one point. But otherwise, he's doing okay.
Okay, well, because you said it was getting dark.
Yes.
Well, humans can't see in the dark and often are afraid of that, I'm told.
Oh, Albert seems all right. As the lights go down, Albert will actually pull a pair of, like, really goofy-looking goggles. We're talking, they look like they are, to a knowledgeable eye, some sort of techno-wizard night vision goggles. But they look like a pair of old, like, aviator goggles with, like, a shot glass welded on the front, and then, like, crystals hanging from them. Yeah, but he's fine. Darkness is not going to bother Albert. That reason. And I assume the rest of you can see in the dark in some way, shape, or form, because all Rift's protagonists can somehow. He's just part and parcel with being, you know, superhuman engines of destruction. They just sort of give you dark vision-ish abilities in the package. Yeah, so you move it across. There's no immediate sign that there's no engine noise, because remember, you heard engine noise on the way in. There's no... It seems like either your assailants have either absconded or are grounded for some reason currently. Because those bikes make a lot of noise.
Didn't they run off when Matt, like, did something to them?
Yeah, I shot one of them down.
Yeah. Perdicion pegged one in the chest with a rocket. And the other two that were left sort of decided maybe that was not a fight they wanted a part of at that point, I think.
Yeah, see, it's all fun and games when they're shooting me in the chest with rockets, but when I shoot one of them in the chest with rockets, suddenly.
Yes, that's literally how it works. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly how that works, yes. Alright, so Albert, as Albert gets closer to this bus, because remember, it looks like a bus with a Cessna chassis, like, welded to the bottom of it, and then a bunch of steampunk nonsense, and it's the
Fortnite battle bus, yeah.
And it's got a picture of Albert spray painted on the sign.
Is Albert one of the queen? Not queen. One of the...
No, he is not. Freddy's. He's not a Freddie Mercury. Albert looks like... well, I believe I've shared this picture before, but he looks like he is a physical clone of Doc Brown on the train in Back to the Future 3, right? Including the top hat, or including the hat. I guess it's not a top hat, but it's the hat has to be, the hat is part and parcel with the look, right? This is the...
Are there goggles on the hat?
The goggles were formerly on the hat and are now under the hat, right?
All right, it's very important that those hats have goggles.
But he's got the full, like, the bow tie. He's got the vest and the full suit on. The coat, yes, and the bow tie is always on. The coat is a little bit, like, singed and covered in some sort of weird goo in places now, because of the adventure so far. But rest assured, Albert has, like, a full cleaning and press kit on the conveyance, so it'll be fine. As he's running towards this bus, he will he'll holster the shotgun he's been carrying, and he pulls out essentially a key ring, a set of keys, right? And he'll push a button and there will be a beep noise, and then the gangplank will sort of lower from the bus. And he'll run up the bus and inside, run up the plank and go inside. And immediately lights are coming on and steam is escaping from various valves. He is starting pre-flight preparations. I'm assuming everyone else is sort of following up, trying to gather everybody in.
Yep, bundling things in, getting stuff loaded onto the plane, bus, mm-hmm. bus plane, the combination,
and our buddy Goro.
Plane combination bus.
And our buddy Goro's doing okay?
Yeah, how's Goro hauling?
I'm assuming I'm okay, but I'm not immediately boarding with all the things that this guy wanted to bring along with us.
Okay. So you're posted up outside. We're about to make a power play here.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So all the stuff fires up. It takes, I was pretty good at this. It takes 30, 40 seconds. And then he will reappear and he'll be waving and he'll... The vehicle is fairly loud when it's actually moving or powering up. And so it's sort of like a helicopter. He starts trying to wave you up the gangplank. Yelling something, but you can't hear it over the turbines.
Anticipate engine noises in my plan.
I imagine you're pretty loud.
Yeah, I forgot the lady's name.
Serena. Serena's the one that's been trying to talk to you over the radio. Specifically Albert's radio.
So yeah, I'll probably bellow something as loud, over the noise of the engines. Like, we're going to Serena now, yes?
Albert will give me a perception real quick. A perception
roll. Sure. Notice?
Yeah, notice, sorry, yeah. I forget the terms. Okay.
The wild die was cooperating, apparently.
Wild die came through big. That's a 19. Albert will sort of motion like he is... he can't hear you, right? Like, he gives you the hand, like, on his ear. Like, I can't hear you. Come closer. I can't hear you. But, like... You can tell he's just annoyed. He's annoyed at you bringing this up right now.
I will take one of the cases at random.
Uh-huh.
And frisbee it as hard as I can away from this bus.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. You can throw pretty hard, I would have bet.
I would imagine so.
I would point out that during this time, you are still clutching the rune sword. Well...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm obsessively holding on to this thing, even though I don't really pay attention to it.
Oh, yeah. Without thinking about it at all, you are in one of your... In, like, your primary hand, you are holding that thing, and you're not letting go. As you... you wing that away... you hear Albert with, like, a... Albert's mouth moves, right? And then a second mm-hmm. later, it's sort of like a kind of a rough dub on a movie, right? His voice comes through speakers that must be somewhere above him on the flying contraption. He says, "Oh, now you're just being childish. Get up here, we have to go."
Hey, has Albert ditched his bag yet? Like, stowed it?
I imagine he probably set it down to run pre-flight stuff, yeah.
Alright, I go looking for his magic phone.
Okay.
Can I retrieve the, the case that Goro chucked, just, like, obliviously?
Yes. I'm imagining the shot now where Goro, like, Albert's standing at the top of the stairs, right? Tink is digging through stuff behind him, and Goro just, like, maintaining eye contact with Albert, just, like, uses one of his, remember, four arms to just chuck a case to his right, and then all of Gug's, like, tentacles just sort of, like, slump, like, shoulders, right? And then he sort of slithers off in that direction out of frame. Yeah, Tink, it doesn't take long. Yeah, you can find it. And there's some static rolling through, but there's nothing you would identify as, like, a hail coming through anymore. And it's...
I try to push the magical equivalent of Star 69.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so...
Can you explain that for people under the age of 40?
I was wondering about gosh. That. I didn't call that on that shit.
Okay, millennial.
So, like, Star 69 was a way that you would redial the last person to call you.
So, just to be clear, before I was interrupted, I was about to describe this thing as essentially an old Nokia with a bunch of extra wires and crystals attached.
No. Nokia's still a respectable brand. Let's still
carry on.
Right? Oh, God. Right?
It's still a brand. It was never respectable.
I know that. I Okay, now I'm dating myself. I do own some Nokia stuff, but still.
I mean, I think my first phone was an NEC, so, like...
Only thing able to go up against Nintendo for sheer density.
Yep.
Yeah.
This thing doubles as a weapon. So yeah, you hit the buttons and there is a like a couple of chimes, and then through the communicator comes the same voice you heard before. It's like, and it is garbled and it is staticky. But it's very easy to understand because the message is, Albert, where the fuck are you?
Oh, so you do need some heroism.
Only it is a female voice, and it is in an accent that, well, here, Tink, give me a common knowledge roll real quick.
Yep. Hold on a sec, I gotta...
It's not gonna be real hard for you, but it'll be...
Well, you know, Tink is so good at the common knowledge.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, it is... The accent is Elven.
Oh. I don't know what that means, but that's cool.
Okay, so Tink's first response, if he doesn't actually say anything, is like, hold on, putting you on speaker. We'll try to do that and, like, then tug on Albert's coat hem. Like, hey.
Alright, Perdition, while this is going on, I have a question for you.
I'm listening.
Because so far, we've kind of treated your entourage like Schrodinger's bros.
Sure.
Right? They're there, they're not there, there's some number of them or there's not. Did you bring them, you brought them on this trip, right?
Yeah, they come along with him wherever he goes, like, unless it's, like, literally into the jaws of hell, and even then, like, we gotta make sure we get some B-roll for that.
Okay, are they waiting to board when you board, or did they just, like, jog on to the transport to get the F out of here, or...
Oh, I think they hopped on, because they're ready to go.
Okay.
Well, also, the boarding shot is usually fairly dramatic.
It's true. You wanna get that.
Right, I'm gonna get it vaguely stabilized so you can see the battle bus like dip slightly as Perdition's golem like form.
Yeah, exactly.
As you can hear, you want to be in there so you can hear the shocks. You get the shocks on the audio as they struggle under the weight.
Yeah, they ADR that in afterwards.
there's Foley work involved somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to send these back to Colombia to get them edited and everything. There is, like, production and Foley and all that. So.
Okay. Okay. Cool. That answers that question. So, Tink, you put this on speakerphone, and there are some number of, like, humans from the... Formerly of the Colombian, the current Rift era Colombian state. I can't remember exactly what their deal is on there.
Let's see here. Federation from the way it's made with weird but crazy Midwestern sensibilities, it's like Narco Columbia or something. I guess.
I was gonna go with
no,
Shoot, I can't pronounce that word.
Yeah, like Nanahul or something like that. I don't remember, but
I don't remember. But they're one of the like semi-legitimate states in South America. One of the more technological ones, mm-hmm. too, as I recall. Anyway, so you put it on speakerphone. And it's still it's garbled. The speaker is less clear than the mm-hmm. like regular because it's an old Nokia phone. And those are garbage. But through this, you can still hear, and they hear, and Albert hears this voice coming through, and you're catching snippets of they en route shot down. I have evac, and it's just you know, bad things coming through this in two word snippets, right? And all of the like grizzled war recorders here that have traveled this far with Perdición, they know exactly what's about to happen. Like, they're like, okay, no, we're going to go do a rescue mission. That's what this is now. And Albert, like, looks at you and rolls his eyes. Unfortunately, that means he just took his eyes off Goro. What is Goro doing?
Does the bus have any windows?
Oh, yes. The bus is covered in windows. Hold on.
Well, he wants me to load these boxes onto his bus.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
So we're going to see how good I can frisbee a box into one of the windows.
Alright, that sounds like an athletics roll to javelin a box into a window.
Casually hurl, right?
Let me see if I can find. So I had artwork for his bus. I have lost track of where we're playing this game. Okay, yeah, no, you throw like one of the, I'm imagining, are you starting with the smaller cases or the bigger cases?
Probably the smaller ones to start, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, you put one through, like, a portcullis, just straight through this bus window, and in, and Albert turns and makes direct eye contact with you, and begins to pull his shotgun, like, he lifts his shotgun from its hip holster just a little bit. He is going to attempt to intimidate you.
Oh, can Tink assist Goro?
Okay.
So,
I mean, sure.
He says into the phone, oh, hold on a sec. Your friend's trying to get himself murdered.
But, so, Gug will do the thing, the alien thing, where, like Gug descends from the ceiling and says, we'll get you anyways, don't worry. But your friend might die.
Okay, so here's what's about to happen. Albert's going to... So, he makes eye contact with Goro. He's clearing this thing from his holster, and over the like the loudspeakers, he says, "Don't test me, son. I've made things out of badder dudes than you." and then he's gonna try to. So give me a spirit roll there, Goro.
Spirit.
Okay.
I think you're weird. I've saved the president.
That was a success. That was a success. I actually have a plan for you. I'm gonna have to figure out how to do it because I'm gonna start wanting to replace your wild die somehow with other things. But I'll have to figure out how to do it. Okay, so you are unimpressed, as should be unsurprising to anyone viewing this scenario, right? And through the speakers on the phone, you hear, again, in this, like, it's not panicked, but it's very elevated, but it's also, like, not shouty at this point, elven accent. And she goes, "Albert, what the fuck is going on? Who are these people, Albert?" Goro.
I'm Gug.
You're Gug, great. Okay, good to meet you, Gug. Albert, get your ass over here. And there's suddenly there's like the phone, two or three of the crystals sort of blink in a sequence, and there is a small like map display that pops up in a hologram essentially over the top of the Nokia. Sweet. They got better after the apocalypse. And that map display has the local, has what appears to be like a topographical map essentially. And there is a dot on it that is blinking, right? And she is, and the voice on the other side of the phone says, "Look, this is where we are. I need you to come get us right now. We're not. You have to get here, Albert." And then you hear her start to yell, sort of something at someone who's not you, and then the call cuts out.
I approve it. How dramatic your phone is.
Goro, what are you doing while all of that is happening inside the cabin? Because it doesn't look like you're the center of attention right now.
Do I?
Albert,
okay, I'm just going to yell back at him. Yeah. Last chance. Next one goes through whatever looks like an engine.
When you say that, Albert will sort of look back and forth between... Tink, who's holding the phone over, I imagine, like, over his head. Like...
Well, under his head. Remember, Tink's kind of short.
Yeah, no, but you, over your head, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, definitely holding it up over my head.
Because there's a very specific, like, piece of art that I was thinking of. Like, there's a, like... This is gonna date me. When Tasselhoff...
Is it the boombox scene?
Tasselhoff Burfoot in the Dragonlance books... picks up the dragon orb over his head. There's a piece of art where he's about to smash it on the ground. I'm imagining it's that with Tink and the phone, right? Tink's just sort of like holding it up under. Perdicio, where are you standing? Did you get on the vehicle? Are you like backing up Goro? Are you thinking you might have to take down Goro? What is your...
I think he's trying to assess whether Goro's gone nuts or not. Just kind of like looking at him like, what are you on, man?
Do you have any sort of like that dude's possessed sense? Like, can you sense magic? Can you sense magical influence?
He basically has the ability to sense supernatural evil.
Okay. Have we established a method for that, or have we just?
We were just going off a notice, I think.
Okay, yeah. Give me a notice roll. I'm assuming you're standing behind Goro at this point.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. A little bit off to the side, maybe. I'm gonna spend a Benny for that because I feel like I should be picking up something here, but I'm not.
Oh my god, Bennies have been the worst thing. I don't think we've spent a Benny and made the roll afterwards.
I've hit it once or twice, I feel like, but whatever.
Everything seems fine. You still have, like, a not awesome feeling about that sword, but this isn't, like, super out of character for Goro anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, he thinks something needs to be done here, so he's gonna roll with it if Goro thinks he's right, you know.
Yeah, you've known Goro a couple of days. This is Goro. This is Goro behavior. So Goro, when you like pick up and you start to act like you're gonna throw another one of those at the bus, Albert will make direct eye contact with you, and with your 19 from before, you see his eyes flick to the sword. Right? And then back to your eyes. Very, very quickly. And he very dramatically, like, slaps his shotgun back in the holster. And he says, over the loudspeakers, "Fine, get in." And he walks, he turns, like, on his heel, and in that motion, grabs at the cell phone, and starts walking back towards, or if he gets the cell phone, if Tink doesn't try to prevent him from getting the cell phone, or somebody else doesn't, he's going to grab it and walk back to the cockpit.
Okay.
Yeah, Goro will board the bus.
awesome. As Goro walks on, there's a hiss of steam, and the gangplank rises and seals on the hole. One of Perdicion's like crew is cleaning glass off the seats so they can sit down. And in about 10 seconds, you're airborne. You hover upwards. You rotate, sort of like a vertical takeoff aircraft, turning, but you stay firmly inside this glowing column of light. And as the darkness rises, you head south. You head south along this line, further from where you've come.
Does it seem like it's in the right direction for what Tink saw on the phone?
Yeah. What Tink saw. From that topographical map. Like, I don't know how good Tink is at, like, you know, orienteering.
Yeah,
that's a skill Tink has. You have reason to. Albert is consulting the thing occasionally. Anybody that looks at it closely will tell that what you're doing is you're heading south and sort of southwest down through like the tip of Illinois and down through Iowa, but you're going very, very quickly along this ley line, fast enough that like random articles in the cabin keep getting sucked towards the broken window. Because you're going very, very fast. The air pressure outside is, you know, the pressure differential is very high.
Okay. Now, one that makes sense to me is that, like, Tink's probably familiar with ley lines, just general fairiness, and he also does have a wakeboard, so, like...
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, this operates on basically the same principle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically the same principle.
Now I just got a sudden urge to surf behind this flying thing. Anyway,
yeah,
the old tailspin
style, yeah. you're in the air, you're headed west, and this you're chasing the sun a little bit, but you're not moving west fast enough to keep it in view. So before too long, you are looking at a dark expanse of space, a dark expanse of grounds, sort of a light horizon as the sun retreats, and a blue-green, teal, purple, swirly colors energy band that you are immersed in, right?
Woo-hoo. That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.